This is the best of Golic and Wingo podcast.
There won't be an encore. You're right. And the shoes you have to fill, at least you do it in great sneakers, right?
Yeah, no, I got that portion filled out there. But yeah, like everyone else is getting compliments. It's like, Junior, figure it out,
you
man.
Got some shoes to fill, boy.
Well, just for clarification, your size shoe is?
14.
Your size shoe is?
14.
Boom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Boom. You don't know how big an advantage this is, too, when you're coming up as like a kid, when me, Jake, and my dad all got to the same size. Yeah. It's just interchangeable
worked
now.
Worked out very, very well. For those that may not know, this is the last show of Golic and Wingo. Mike will be going to 4-7?
Yes, 4-7 Eastern. Chinee and Golic Jr., Chinee Agwumike and myself going to be taking over afternoons from 4-7.
This all starts August 17th, the new radio lineup of which Trey, you and I will not be part of this. So this is it for Golic and Wingo, and this is it for me on ESPN Radio for, October of 98. So 22 years. And what's fitting here, I think, is when I started this show, it was me and Tony Bruno. And again, we were in a small studio, and our only affiliate was Chicago, ESPN 1000. That was our only affiliate. This was the first time ESPN Radio had been around, but only doing evening stuff. This is the first time they were doing a morning drive show, and it was Tony Bruno and myself. So all we had as an affiliate was Chicago. And as that show started going on in that small room there, in the morning there, because we even saw it when we used to be in studio, is cleaning people are there in the morning.
Right.
We're there with them when we get there at 4:30, 5 o'clock. Well, there was a cleaning woman there named Gabby who didn't understand, didn't speak much English, didn't understand a lot when and you'll get it when I say this, is she would clean and she didn't have any idea what the light above that was on above the door.
The red on air sign.
The red on air sign. So she would literally, while we were on air, open the door and vacuum in the room. and we tried to tell her, no, but she didn't understand. She was just doing her job. So we decided to just let that go and let that be. Basically, that may have been one of the first bits ever is here comes Gabby, the cleaning lady, and we would just be on air and you'd just hear in the background the vacuum going. And now, 22 years later, we finished a show in my basement where my wife always says, I got to go down and vacuum the set.
Yeah, no, it's
so it what you're saying is the circle is complete.
There it is.
Much in the same way the NBA has made the circle complete because it was a Rudy Gobert positive test.
Wow, well done.
That shut down the season.
Wow.
And Rudy Gobert started the first 2 points of the NBA's return to the bubble.
This guy.
Unbelievable. You bet. Coming out on fire.
It was sort of weird, right? Seeing Rudy Gobert bookend this game with the free throws that won. Like, we couldn't get away from him no matter how hard. Because, like, you feel bad sometimes trying to, like, force a storyline like that. Like, oh, Rudy Gobert was part of the NBA shutdown. And now he's bringing it back. But he would not let it go.
No, he would not. And we'll get into that game and all the tentacles that went on between the Jazz and the Pelicans a little bit later. But the nightcap of the two games to restart the NBA season was, of course, the Lakers and the Clippers. And the Lakers come up with the win. After struggling for most of the entire game, LeBron James comes up with the game-winning bucket and also plays great defense on Paul George to make sure the Lakers close him out. And they split the regular season series 2-2.
Yeah, you're right. LeBron, as we'll hear, did not play. We'll have Dave McMenamin on in about 25 minutes. He was at the game to chat about that. LeBron did not play well, but save for that last shot where we inexplicably saw an NBA player follow his own shot. Because LeBron took a little drive and took a little mid-ranger, which as soon as he let go, knew it wasn't going to make it. So he just kept going, went off the front of the rim. He got his own rebound in around three Clippers and put it back in. And then you mentioned the defense. Kawhi first had the ball, and LeBron was playing defense on Kawhi, who then dished it to PG, and he switched off onto PG. And PG had just hit a three with 28 seconds to go to tie the game, and he tried the three at the end there and missed it. So the Lakers get the win on LeBron not playing very well. It was Anthony Davis with 34 points in that one. 16, he was 16 of 17 from the free throw line. So he got to almost half his points were at the free throw line, and they got great help off the bench. So in a game where we're not going to sit here and break down the game much. It was the first game back after 141 days. Not all the principal players are there, especially, no Lou Williams for the Clippers just yet, still in quarantine.
And enjoying the wings.
To sit there and break it down, I think, would be a little crazy. It'd still kind of look at the bigger picture of all this.
It is wild, like, when you talk about the bigger picture, though, looking at both of those games happening, and maybe it's just because it was one right after the other, or maybe it's because we're so focused on all of it, like, and this is going to sound obvious when you say it, but you got such a sense for how much better the Lakers and Clippers are than the Pelicans and the Jazz. Yeah. Like, it was, it was like, even coming back off the hiatus where you knew everyone was going to be rusty, those two teams already look markedly better than them. Like, that's, that needs to be the Western Conference Finals.
Well, it, in all indications are, it probably will
exactly.
be. So again, LeBron struggled through most of the game, but when it mattered most, he got the game-winning bucket and the clampdown D on Paul George before he was on Kawhi as well. Here was LeBron talking about what happened late in the game.
Yeah, I mean, I love having the ball in my hands, you know, late in the game, tie game, being down, being up. You know, we had a three-point game with like 40 seconds to go. We got a, you know, a great look for Danny. He missed it. Paul George came back and hit a three to tie the game. And for me, just try to, you know, be aggressive. You know, I feel like I got some contact at the elbow, you know, by Marcus Morris. They didn't call it. But, like you was told when you was a kid, you know, since I started playing basketball, if there's no whistle, you keep playing on. So I was able to follow my shot and, you know, put us up for good.
Man, when is the last time you hear a player, I was able to follow my shot? You just don't see it.
No.
I guess when you're that close and you basically know it was going to be a miss, you know, you could tell when it left his hand.
That's like when you shank one off the tee and you just immediately start walking and looking for it over in the woods because you just know.
Yeah, you just grab the ball out of your pocket.
That's very true. More than
anything else. Thank you for saying
that.
Well,
for me, it's after I hit the second ball in the same spot, you know, in the woods.
But the funny thing about that is also LeBron, again, first post game lobbying for a – should have gotten a call.
Oh, yeah, yeah, why not?
I was surprised. It didn't feel like on the offensive end. Now, on the defensive end, I thought he got away with a fair amount, too. But on the offensive end, I didn't feel like he got a fair amount of calls. But Anthony Davis sure did, because like you said, Dad, I feel like every time I like looked down at something else and looked up, Anthony Davis was back at the free throw
Anthony
line.
Davis at the free throw. It was incredible. Now, Kawhi got 13 shots there as well. But, yeah, Anthony Davis had 17 shots. Hit 16 of them. So good start for the Lakers, as you mentioned. They split the series. And who would have thought, out of this first game, would we be saying who was basically shot a great percentage? Deion Waiters.
We all thought that.
5 of 10. He was bad from threes, 1 of 6. But he ended up with 11 points, and it was J.R. Smith. J.R. Smith, and we all wonder, well, would J.R. Smith come out of the gate? He played just under 8 minutes, had no points in this one. Deion Waiters, 5 of 10, had 11 points in this game off the bench. Really did well for the Lakers.
So to your point, let's not break it down too much, but here was John Berry on what he expected and what he saw out of a game, which in all likelihood will be the Western Conference Finals.
LeBron James was not very good. Let's be quite honest. 6 for 19. He does have the 11 boards. He gets the 16 points, but he's off his game. Thank goodness for their bench. They played well. Kuzma, Waiters did a nice job. Caruso finished the ball game. So I don't put a ton of stock in this. Like I said, I think these teams held a little bit back from each other. I just want to see them in about 2 months.
Right.
Whenever that Western Conference Final would start, because I think it'd have some real firework and it'd be a lot of fun.
Well, you can book it. Oh, wait. Sorry.
Hey, now.
A different thing.
Wow. Done.
Thank you.
It's over.
So, Dave McMenamin again.
Oh, you can
reporter.
Book it.
There it is. We'll join us in just about 20 minutes.
Golic
and Wingo.
And Wingo.
Mm-hmm. Trey Wingo and Mike Golic Sr. We're delighted to be joined now by Dave McMenamin, our Lakers reporter, for a couple of reasons. In normal circumstances, Dave McMenamin is out on the West Coast, mm-hmm. where we're not in the bubble, so we didn't get a chance to talk to him very much. So we're happy to have that part of the equation solved. And also we're happy to talk to Dave today because there is basketball to be discussed. Dave is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. It's road trip season. Get ready with 5-Hour Energy. Dave, what did you think of the energy, effort, and overall play of the Lakers against the Clippers last night?
Guys, I loved it. I just got down to Orlando on Monday, so I hadn't seen the scrimmages in person. So this is my first taste of seeing what this NBA operation was like with my own two eyes. I couldn't been more impressed. Not only just by, you know, the effort by the players, of course, and when it came down to crunch time yesterday, you could have told me I was in an NBA arena, I would have believed it. But the entire setup down here, and I mean every precaution and every, I guess just like the professional touch to it, it was great. And I the encouraging part was this was game one of the seeding games, and part of my concern going into this thing was, can this really feel like they're games of consequence? when it really needs to matter, when it's an NBA Finals game. And those kind of concerns were, I think, solved and went away yesterday after seeing the way those games played out. And, I'm excited to go back to the arena in a couple hours to do it again.
Dave McMenamin joining us. Time for some Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. So from the games, and we're breaking them down some, but we're not going to get too crazy breaking them down in just the first game back. But was there anything on the court of play by anybody in particular on either side that may have surprised you a little bit?
I don't know if it's surprising, but the idea that Kawhi Leonard had 4 months off to kind of get his body right and then just to see him go to work and, you know, there was a time in that Lakers Clippers game where it looked like the Clippers were just going to run away with it, and it was just because Kawhi took the game over. You know, Paul George had his moments as well, too. He scored 30, Kawhi scored 28, but just the economy of motion that Kawhi plays with, but at the same time, the really solid, honest defensive effort that LeBron gave against him to the point where, you know, LeBron put it on his Instagram after the game that he was laying on the floor of the hotel room. He was so tired, but I picked up on that. We talked to LeBron post game. His energy level was so low, and it's like, okay, this guy is spent. But in terms of surprising, like, hey, the Lakers have to feel pretty good about themselves having Deion Waiters come in, score double digits in a game that matters. The first time he played in an actual Lakers game was last night. Kyle Kuzma, who looked great in those scrimmages, it carried over. He was great again last night. You know, and in the first game, J.J. Redick, you know, we're about the same age, and he was talking about the work he put in over the hiatus. Not that I go on these late night walks, where I'd walk 5-6 miles and felt pretty good about where my pandemic body was. JJ said he weighs the least he has since Duke, and it showed. He was flying around the court and making plays, and even though they didn't get the win, the Jazz won the game. The Pelicans are going to be a tough out down the stretch here.
Dave McMenamin with us here on Golic and Wingo. Yeah, and sticking with the Pels there, Zion, obviously a strict minutes restriction. Was there any talk about how long that was going to last? As we know, the Pelicans have a legitimate shot at trying to get into that play-in scenario in the West.
Yeah, Alvin Gentry, the coach, didn't really get into the length of time. And then they're just, the way they've approached Zion Williamson, knowing that he has such a unique body, and knowing that he is such a incredible talent that they believe could be the linchpin for a championship, but incredibly important to their business. I mean, he's a legit star, and you can't keep your eyes off of him when he's on the court. That they'll ease him back, slowly rather than quickly, but I imagine by the time they get to the third or fourth seeding game here, you'll see the regular minutes you're accustomed to Zion. And Zion had 13 points in 15 minutes last night. So hopefully, you get him up to the 30-minute range and see if he can keep up that same type of production.
Dave McMenamin with us, our Lakers reporter, and it's his every intention to be in the bubble for a while because the Lakers have the stated goal of winning the NBA championship. So for you, Dave, so far, I always want to hear from this when people are down there and knew this. Take us inside your bubble experience. How has it been? And can you confirm or deny that you are one of the people that Rachel Nichols reported about that brought in full arcade games or couches to wherever you're staying?
I really like that report from Rachel. No, I'm not a gamer, but I did like overpack with random. Like I brought probably 17 polos, and I'm recognizing that we can do laundry here. That was probably overdoing it. So far I got here Monday night, so and I'm on the tier 2 level bubble. I do this till late August, and then I switch into tier 1 for the conference finals. And finals. So, I came in and we had to get a test and, go and quarantine for 24 hours, waiting the test results, got the negative test results, and was allowed to be going into the arena. you know, it's pretty easy. I mean, staying in a nice hotel on a Disney property, get shuttled to the arena. They feed us at the arena. We have great seats. I could do this like 12 months a year rather than a couple of years. So no complaints over here.
Oh, that's great. All right. Well, you know what? Maybe we'll see if we can just, how long could one bubble? Maybe that'll be Dave McMenamin's calling going forward once the NBA season is over. Hey, Dave, we appreciate the time this morning. Thanks.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you. And Mike Golic, thank you so much for everything.
Thanks, Dave. I appreciate it. And thank you for always joining the show for us and helping out. Thanks, man.
From the people who brought you Bubble Boy comes Bubble Man.
And quite honestly, be careful what you wish for. Yeah. We're not sure that this isn't going to happen when they start the season, supposedly, in December. So we'll see again where it goes with Zion in the minutes if they improve to try and help them get to the playoffs. But I know we're going to do trending and then talk college football. But I love thinking about the old stories, and it had to do with college football. So, again, my last show after 22 years on ESPN Radio, starting the morning show, which was 7,693 days ago with Tony Bruno. Our first guest, you know, our first guest ever was.
It had to be someone from Chicago, right?
It was college football. That's good, what made me think of it. Beano Cook.
Beano.
Beano Cook was always great. Like, give me a plate of bacon.
A plate of bacon.
And our first celebrity was, because we were only on in Chicago, Tony and I took a trip to Chicago. We did the show on the set of Jerry Springer, and we had Jerry Springer on the show. He was the first quote-unquote celebrity that we had on air.
Wow.
I know.
Strong start. Did he did he do any of the stuff on air? Like, no, did you guys have anyone uproot a chair?
Steve or whatever his god had his own show. Had to come in and separate you two?
But no, he was great. He was great just sitting around shooting the breeze. Yeah, it was amazing.
I feel like wherever he goes, there's just people have to be chanting Jerry in the background at all times.
Or waiting someone to say, you are not the father. You know?
My God. Wait. If you see an envelope around there, run. Because you're probably so being ambushed. All of that is Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless.
I mean,
no
why
contract,
wouldn't it be?
No compromise. Sure,
yeah.
Jerry Springer there.
Golic.
I tell you what, a great sports night last night. Yeah. No doubt about it.
And Wingo.
What a day. What a show. What a time.
Golic and Wingo here with you. Meanwhile, there was the report that came out just a few days ago by the Hush Blackwell Law Firm on an external investigation into the Iowa football program that outlined several allegations of racial discrimination and racial bias within the department against black players. For more on this, we are joined now on Golic and Wingo by the head football coach of the Iowa Hawkeyes, Kirk Ferentz. Coach, thanks for being with us this morning. We appreciate it.
Morning, guys. Thanks for having me on.
So I guess my first question to you, Coach, would be, what was your impression of how you and the staff were running the football program before you heard these allegations come out from former players and then the report? And what is your impression of what the program is now, having heard all of that?
Yeah, I think, Trey, really, this first came to light a year ago, just about this time. It was last August. I met with a group of our players after a task force had done a report internally on campus. And we had a meeting last August and just talked about some of the policies that a lot of our players felt. The key term that came out of that report was the players felt like they had to put on a mask. They couldn't be their authentic self when they came in the building. And a lot of it had to do with some of the policies that we felt were important. And so we made some changes last year in August. Things just really cosmetic things like being allowed to wear hats in the building, earrings, et cetera, those types of things. And, we really thought we made some positive steps and seemed like that was a good thing. But, I think really the honest truth of this whole thing is I think a lot of things have changed in our society going back to last, end of May, early June. And, I think as a result of that, we had our first team meeting on June 8th, and I've never been in a meeting that was any more raw, any more emotional, and any more honest than what we experienced that day. And just a lot of great dialogue, and that dialogue continued in earnest for about 2 days. And really since then, we've really dug deep in just about every segment of our program to try to better listen to what our players were feeling, how they are feeling, and then most importantly, look at things that we could do to reshape some things and make adjustments and try to move forward in a good way. And I think we've had two outstanding months, but really what it's all about is what we do moving forward. And that's, you know, that's where our focus is right now.
So, Coach, as the program tries to move forward, and again, that external investigation said it was former and current coaches that contributed to that. What do you say to those people who are asking, well, if Kirk Ferentz was in charge of it then, why should he still be in charge of the program now?
Yeah, I think it's more than fair. And, you know, for me personally, you know, a lot of things you learned a lot, just again, in our society. A landmark day for me, I remember, is watching Sunday news shows May 31st, and I saw some things that day that just put some things in a whole different perspective, and I imagine there are a lot of Americans that probably feel the same. And then more specifically, June 5th, Friday night, is when things started, a couple former players started tweeting. And what I did was I just started basically for a week straight, and then it went well beyond that. But for that next week, if I wasn't in a team activity, I was talking to former players and players, some that went on social media, but more that played here over the last 20 years. And just asked them mainly three questions. You know, what needs to be fixed? Is it fixable? And then the third question was, am I part of the problem or part of the solution? So, you know, and one thing I did learn, you know, being somewhere 20 years, Mike, you can identify with this, you know, learn every day. And one resource I have not tapped into enough are our former players. And since we formed an advisory committee of 11 former players, guys that played here as early as the early 70s, right on through to more recent times. And those guys just spoke very, very candidly. And so the information I took away from it was, you know, basically, you know, here are the places that we really need to work and focus and, you know, readjust and make changes. And then also we got a lot of feedback from our current roster. Like I said, they've never talked as honestly as they have the last 2 months.
We're talking to Kirk Ferentz, head coach at Iowa football, the longest tenured coach in FBS football right now, four-time Big Ten Coach of the Year. And you talk about some of the changes, Coach, that are going on now, but certainly this report goes back some years, and it says, according to the report, there was a coach that said he brought up the differences in treatment of black players to you a couple of times over the last 4 years with no resulting change. So while there's change coming up now, what is your response to that statement from that coach, from that report?
Yeah, that's a really fair question, Mike. And two answers on that, really. I don't doubt that those suggestions might have been made. I can tell you this, they weren't as straightforward as what I heard in June or what I heard over on the phone, on the conversations I had with former players. And I think that is part of the problem in that, you know, I think sometimes players and coaches may be reluctant to come to me with things that, you know, maybe are going to be delicate, what they would consider for me to be delicate. But the bottom line is that what we've learned certainly over this period of time is some of those things, you know, didn't seem that important. Like, you know, I didn't realize how important earrings are to players. But they are, and that's come across loud and clear. That was a year ago. There are a lot of other things internally, just little things that we've made adjustments on. And then it's interesting, some of the things are things that we've talked about on an annual basis and didn't really get much feedback. That feedback changed this last 2 months. So the biggest thing I think I would answer on that is that, you know, I think we're all seeing things, or at least a lot of us are seeing things with a little different lens going back to this past May, just about, you know, just how important certain things are. And, you know, that's probably the best answer I can give you.
Kirk Ferentz with us, Iowa head football coach. And coach, that diversity task force that you referenced had reports and findings of their own. And you mentioned there were some changes that were made, but ultimately, and I believe your own words even said that you didn't do a good enough job following through ultimately in that. Now we know Chris Doyle, your guy's strength coach, you guys have parted ways with. But in the report, a lot of players said they didn't want him to be a scapegoat for what was a systemic problem in their eyes in this. So what are you guys doing as far as tangible changes now within the power structure, within the way that coaches have power over players in these situations, to make sure that these things aren't going to be a reality again and that this won't get glossed over?
Yeah, Mike, so first of all, Chris is a tremendous coach. And, you know, my judgment there on the weekend of our guys came back to you, Nate, my judgment over that weekend was I couldn't imagine him going in the weight room and being effective that week. And then as this went on, I just felt like in our climate right now where we're at, you know, he was not going to be able to operate effectively. He's a tremendous coach and will do a great job in his next job. I know that. And then just a lot of these things that we changed fairly quickly. You know, just the advent in social media. We've allowed our players to go on Twitter. That's something I've held back on for years now. But we've crossed that bridge, and just, you know, we're going to take the attitude that, you know, it's all about education and trying to make sure our guys use good judgment the best we possibly can. Again, the dress code thing, there were some inconsistencies with our drug testing policy that really, in reality, were not tilted, but there was a perception they were. And as I went in and looked at those numbers, I was able to tell the players, okay, here are three examples of, for instance, three guys that got tested at a high number. But there was no consistency in our programs. We're going to standardize that and make sure it's extremely transparent. So when we start in August, everybody knows what the standards are and what they can expect moving forward. Body weights is a topic that came up, and that's not uncommon. Football players will get more people involved with deciding what the body weight should be, and also add a little flexibility in that. We had had our players wearing sleep bands. The only players that are going to wear those now will be our first-year guys. Strictly as an educational tool, no incentives, disincentives with that, but just strictly an educational tool. Just some simple things like pregame warm-up and locker room music in the pregame. That was one of the first things on the list. So I think those things have been easy to address. And my message to the players is that, you know, and I'll put it in this perspective, in 1999, we were a 1-10 football team that needed a lot of discipline, a lot of accountability. And, you know, I think you do anything significant through hard work. So that's been the foundation of our program. But as we've moved forward, you know, we're in a much different place right now. And we've got a lot of guys that I know what it takes to win. They want to win. Not that we're going to have to remind them as we go along on certain things, but just working from a different place, putting a little more trust in our players. But as I've constantly reminded our players over the 2-month period here, is that we can make adjustments and changes. Football still is a game of measurement, and at some point, you know, you've got to get it done. If it's 4th and 1, you got to stop the team, or you got to make it. But all that being said, of all the things I've heard over the last couple of months, I've never heard anybody talk about, you know, our practice style or the work that we do, or you know, the volume of things that we do. That hasn't been the issue. It's been more about tone, demeanor, or restrictions that, let me rephrase that, policies or regulations that our players felt were restricting of their personal expression. So, I you know, there's a clear difference there.
Coach, lastly, as we're up against the clock a little bit here, Kirk Ferentz, coach at Iowa, did you or anybody in your support circle around you, the closest people around you, ever talk about you or you think about stepping down?
No, that's a question I gave put in front of our players, our former players, and several coaches, and after this thing all got rolling, I did talk to more than several coaches on our staff internally and asked them the same thing. You know, my part of the problem, is time passed me by, all that stuff. So, I hope they weren't being nice, but, you know, got the right response on that. And this has been a really challenging, it's been stressful, time consuming, et cetera, 2 months, but also been really enlightening and educational, and I think that's one of the fascinating things about the game, or in bigger picture, just life in general. You know, when you're working with people and when you're doing something that's challenging, you know, you're just constantly learning and you're constantly growing, but it all starts with listening, and that is one thing I think I've been able to do through the years pretty well. But now the proof is in the pudding. It's what we do moving forward, the consistency. And I've asked our players, I've asked the advisory committee that we formed, I've asked them to, you know, challenge me, and they've done a good job of that, especially the former players. They haven't been kind all the time, but that's okay. But that's part of the process as we move forward. And, you know, our commitment is to having a really good program, an inclusive program where everybody feels, you know, like they can have a voice.
Well, we'll see what happens going forward. Coach, we appreciate your time and candor this morning. Thank you so
much. Thanks, Coach.
Well, thanks for having me on, and congratulations to you guys. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. So, again, Kirk Ferentz said he asked the people, should he be part of – was he part of the problem or one of the solution? And to this point, they said he should be part of the solution.
Well, it's got to be like
you said,
earrings, hats, all that stuff is great, but this is treatment day to day. This is the approach, and guys feeling like they can be themselves is something that they're going to have to show, not tell us now.
And we'll find out when or if the college football season begins in earnest in 2020.
Golic and Wingo.
It was all sort of one big giant jello mold.
Very interesting where that went.
Okay, if you're watching on ESPN2, you're seeing the front of the cake from Montalillo's. Is that what it is?
In Boston. And,
but behind the banner, Mike is already burrowing his way through the backside of the cake.
And yes,
I'm concerned if you keep doing this, at some point the whole cake is just going to collapse on itself.
Well, if it collapses right into my mouth.
Yeah, but what you want to do, you want to eat your cake and still have it.
Oh, God, don't.
No, you don't want to have your cake and then eat it.
Stop it.
You want to eat your cake and still have it. So be careful eating your cake,
because
then
Bill
you want to have
now.
It.
He is. He's just hollowing out the back of this right now. And I can only imagine our next guest is all too familiar with this scene right now. As we are joined by former college football coach, longtime NFL player, and broadcast partner at times with my father, Bill Curry. And Bill, is the thought and the vision of my father eating the back of this cake for him while on air right now sound familiar enough to you?
I had a wonderful flashback of your wonderful dad, and I promise you most of the cake is gone, so you can forget it. We're in Athens, Georgia. We find one of those ice cream places, which we were always looking for. And I confess, I'm part of the problem there. We're both ice cream freaks. And I had dragged him off of a window in East Lansing, Michigan, where he was screaming and begging at 12:01 a.m. for them to open back up, and they were having none of it. So I was happy to be in Athens during hours that they're open. I bought him the biggest ice cream cone they had, several dips on a cone. We walk out the door, and the big fella promptly drops it on the sidewalk, splat. And I thought, well, that's going to cost me $8 more to get him another. Nope. He picks up the ice cream in his hand, shakes it once, puts it back on the cone, and proceeds to eat every single bite of it. So you don't even have to worry about sanitation with the big fella.
Some of the greatest times I've had with Bill, I've said this so many times, Bill, being able to hang out with you for the time that we did. Again, it was you and me and Dave Barnett up in the booth doing games. But, you know, we spent a lot of time. I always loved it, Bill. Bill and I are film freaks. So we would get there in the morning, the day before the game, and we'd be watching film, and there'd be other people in the room watching film with us. How long would it take usually, Bill, for them to be like, my God, you guys are going to keep watching tape over and over again before everybody just left the room and left us alone for hours?
I don't know if you remember, but I brought George Plimpton with me one time, the very sophisticated and polished sports writer, educated at Harvard and abroad. And after about 25 times of watching a Tennessee linebacker, he turned to us and said, I should think we've seen quite enough of number 57, but we move on.
Some people just don't get it when you got to watch the film. Bill, there's probably nobody that has known our family longer, because you knew my kids when they were kids. And I brought, you know, the boys to a Syracuse game one time when they were little leaguers, all the way to now knowing them as adults. So I think you, more than anybody, you know how much I love talking about family on the show. But probably, I would say, without question, is the person that knows my family the most and has known my kids most through their years growing up.
It's been one of the great blessings, and my only wish is that we could have been together more, because I was drawn to the whole Golic family for the obvious reason. You got a wonderful wife, you got great kids that have gone on to wonderful college careers and now various careers their endeavors. But what I remember is Mike Jr., who really rang the bell the night you and I and Michelle Tafoya and Dave Barnett did 7 overtimes at Ole Miss. And apparently Mike Jr. had nodded off. I think he was about 12. And Mike Jr., you'll have to correct me if I'm wrong here, but according to your mom, you wake up the next morning after, and of course they had played till about 2 a.m., but they eventually really did finish the game. But you wake up and you flip on the radio, a television, and they got the replay on, and you go running downstairs and you say, Mom, they're still playing. They're still playing the game in Mississippi. Did that happen?
That I can confirm that did happen, and it still feels, Bill, quite frankly, now like they're still playing that game in Mississippi. So very, very, very real on that.
So listen, Bill,
it was a bunch.
It was unbelievable. Unbelievable. And I certainly had to have you on. I know you were on with us the last show for Mike and Mike as well. And now the last show, Golic and Wingo, really my last show on the radio. And while there's a lot personal between you and I, you're such a great person to talk to about just what's going on with everything in the world today, from the social injustice to the pandemic. And I see you on Twitter all the time talking, but you know, I guess in a way Bill Curry can, how do you assess where we are right now and where we are going? We'll hopefully get in the future.
Well, I know that I've finally accepted who I really am. What I really am is just a beat up old offensive lineman. And for 20 years, it was my job to hike the ball and stay alive, hike the ball and be run over slowly by big guys like you. Oh, by the way, we were on the air one night, and you said to me on the air, you know, Reggie White and I had 120 sacks between us when we played for the Eagles. I said, yeah, that's great, man. How many did Reggie have? You said 111. Yeah.
Very true. Very true.
But I know that I overemphasize that which has been my passion my entire life, which is team sport. And team sport certainly does not have all the answers, but an awful lot of the answers are in team sport. And here's the reason I say that at this moment in the history of our nation. I've been extremely worried about, well, spring practice and then off-season drills, and what do we do about football, and what do we do about women's sports? We have granddaughters now, and our granddaughter is so excited because it looks like she might get to play softball again this fall. It'll be her senior year, so I've watched all that with great interest. But here's what I've been privileged to be a part of. High school coaches all over America have used Zoom and other devices, and on one occasion, there's one coach that got his team together every single weeknight and covered things that are important to young people to understand, not just football, not just how we break the huddle or how we play cover two or whatever it is that they're doing to brush up on their football expertise, but why this is important in life. He's also a high school teacher, this guy. His wife has a business on the side, and we patronize their business. I am so impressed with what faculty has been doing. Our daughter happens to be a high school English teacher. She meets with her by Zoom. She meets with her classes, and teachers and other and coaches are doing such wonderful work, and it is the fabric of our society, and people have been very kind about that huddle thing that you and I popularized a few years ago on your last show with Mike and Mike. That's just a fact. We get together and we forget about our differences, and that's what our country must do now. We've got to forget about our differences and move ahead, and that's really easy to say and really hard to do. But I just pray that people are watching and applying the principles of team, which, and I'm including the church in this, and all our various serious endeavors, and talking about businesses. I hope we're watching that seriously in the political realm as well, and forget about all this sniping and hating each other for no reason at all.
Well, Bill, I mean,
summed it up perfectly.
Again, we always love hearing you talk and give your thoughts on this. And I'm with you. I wish our friendship started earlier, but we know it'll last for the rest of our lives for sure. No doubt about it. As I said, my father has always been my hero. And there's two guys that I respect as much as my father's. One of my high school coaches, John Story, and you as well. So I love our friendship. I love you and I appreciate you. And I look forward to seeing you hopefully sooner rather than later.
So I love you too, and I love all the Golics and Mike Jr. You and Jake and Sydney have just done wonderful things. I'm proud of all of you, and I'm really proud of Christine for putting up with all you knuckleheads. Hug each other for me. I wish I could come hug all of you, but it's been a great privilege to be a tiny part of what you do, and I hope to see all of you soon.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks,
appreciate it very much, man. Thank you.
Have a great day.
Bill Curry, I guarantee you, your mother My wife is upstairs bawling right now.
Golic and Wingo.
Let's not expect too much. There's only one person out there that's expecting way too much out of this guy too early. We know who that is. It's his father.
We do always do this, the what was happening at the time period for certain things. It's one of the hallmarks of the show. We had some good ones, Dad. You started October 12th, 1998. At that time, Bill Clinton was in his second year of his second term as president of the United States. 17-year-old R&B singer Monica had the number one track in the Billboard Top 100, The Ryan Clark had just turned 19 years old.
Wow.
And actor Hugh Jackman had turned 30. Both of their birthdays are on that day. Google was 39 years old, and the following TV shows were in their first season of production. That 70s Show, Sex and the City, Will and Grace, and Jenny's favorite, Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Wow.
There you go. And I think I was working Baseball Tonight that night on October 12th in 19.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
Baseball Tonight for Trey. Gas was $1.03 per gallon, so you guys had that going for you.
And you know who's still getting up to work out at 4 a.m.? Our next guest.
Yes, he was.
My road dog. Longtime teammate here at NFL and the current head coach at Arizona State. Forks up for my guy, Herm Edwards. What's up, Rhodey?
Well, road dog, I tell you what. If this is one of those kind of parties, yours was – I remember my last party, my last show. I didn't have the good puppy dogs, and I didn't have a cake. You guys brought me ice cream. So you've That's already right. one-upped me.
I don't know, man. That ice cream was fun. So, Rhodey, it's good to talk to you, my man. How are things with you right now, and what's going on with you in the program?
Well, we're actually going through what we call a conditioning phase, where we're actually on the field now, running. We haven't done anything with a football yet. That might take place maybe next week, where we can have walkthroughs. But we've had some meeting time with the players. And the conditioning part of it, and so we're slated to kick this thing off, hopefully in September. But right now, that's what we're doing.
When do you think, Herm, that along if your schedule goes and there's no more hiccups, which of course we're keep our fingers crossed for, when you will actually the first day of putting pads on?
Well, we're hoping that will take place probably in another 2 weeks because these guys have been working out for about a month, to be quite honest. So we're getting to the point to where eventually you got to start, practicing football, as I call it. all of a sudden, this physical distancing, because it's not a physical distancing sport, only for the quarterback. He's the only guy that don't want to get hit, which is smart. But everybody else, you got to go play football.
So, Herm, with all that being said, and you hear the plans for the ACC and the plans for the SEC, how confident are you that all of these plans that every conference has, including the Pac-12, and maybe you can shed some light on what we're thinking there, that this thing will actually get pulled off?
Well, I think all plans are good. And you know my line, Trey.
Yes, sir.
Plan that can't be changed is a bad plan. And so we've had some times and we've changed it a couple times. But our plan is basically give ourselves some bye weeks toward the end of the season, just in case a team or two cannot play where you can make it up. But I think every conference has its own way of trying to deal with this. I mean, certain states are in a different phase of where they're at. The California schools are a little bit behind some of the other schools in the Pac-12.
Talking to Herm Edwards, head coach at Arizona State, I want to get into he and Trey's relationship. They've worked together for a long time, somewhat the way Bill Curry and I did. But we certainly would be remiss not to ask you some of these questions. We saw our first college player opt out. Caleb Farley from Virginia Tech, the cornerback, is opting out. He had his mother had passed away a couple of years ago and didn't want to bring anything into the house. He had his reasons for doing it. Have you talked with your players about that, or have you heard from any players who may be thinking about that?
Our players are well aware that they're not forced to play. At this point right now, our players are all ready to go. They've been here. But that is one of those deals where you understand when a player decides to do that. You see it in the NFL, too, as well, right now. So it's interesting. And, every player we know has a voice here on our football in our football program, and if they decide not to play, that's their choice.
Again, Herm Edwards joining us, a longtime player in the NFL, longtime coach as well. Then he worked at ESPN for a bit and now back coaching at Arizona State. And that's working at ESPN where, Trey, you and Herm got the relationship going there. So as a host of a show like this, you always get like the new guys, the former right. athletes, and in your case, former football players or coaches that would come in and all of a sudden have to do TV. And you've told some stories about some of the players coming in. Tell us about Herm when kind of Herm first came into the broadcasting game.
Well, anybody that's ever watched Herm's press conferences knows he's gold in front of a microphone. I mean, he's just great. We used to have this show on ESPN News all day on Mondays. It was just coaches' press conferences. Right. We'd bounce on him. And we'd always stay on Herm's the longest because he's flipping hilarious and he's great. So he got to ESPN, and you know how it goes when you get here, especially on the television side. Now, your camera's going to be number two over there.
Right.
And when you have a point to make, you want to look into that camera number two, and then when you're done, look back at... So Herm's, I could see that the squirrels were running in the brain. I mean, the wheel was going, the hamster wheel was going about 90 miles an hour. He was completely overwhelmed by overproducing, for lack of a better term. So I pulled him aside and I said, Herm, I want to tell you something. Everything that they just told you, just get rid of it. Throw it out the window. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to ask you a question about football, and I just want you to answer it. And I'll never forget what he said. Herm, I don't know if you remember this. You said, oh, thank God.
No. He's right on point in the fact that, look, you guys know my relationship with Trey. And it's more than just working at ESPN. I mean, this is what's great about life. You know, friendships are forever. And how he taught me to do what I needed to do to entertain the audience and to give out information was invaluable, man. I mean, he was my mentor. There's no doubt about it. And, you know, I was just a privilege to come on his shows and him having the patience with me to get me to do the things I needed to do to make sure it was a good show. And that friendship is a lifetime friendship now, you know, and we're pretty close. We call each other Road Dogs, and he's one of my best friends.
Well, the same goes for me.
I can't say enough, man.
Oh, stop. That's great. Some of the best times we've ever had have been on a golf course somewhere talking about everything but football at times. And that's same thing with you and Bill Curry. That's what makes these relationships special that we've sort of been able to form through doing this little crazy thing, you know?
Well, Herm, we really appreciate you coming on this morning. And you're so right. You know, Herm, you and I, you know, and Mike, especially in football, we're used to that team sport mentality, and we always have that mentality. And you obviously have that with Trey, both on the set and off the set. And we definitely wanted to bring you on so you guys could reminisce a bit. And like we said, it's not like we won't all see each other again. We get that. But at least from this part of it. It is going to be over, but we look forward to getting some sideline passes from you at some point.
Forks up, Brody.
I told you guys that. I'm taking you to the donut place too, Golic.
Yeah.
We'll bring little Junior too, so it looks like he's not afraid of a donut either. So
No, he's not. And Herm, by the way, when I'm all done with this, and I'm going to keep doing it for a while, you're still coaching. I want to be on your coaching staff at some point.
Come on. That's all we got is a bunch of NFL guys. You'd be perfect.
I love it. Love it.
It's a pretty good step. Rody, I love you, brother. I'll talk to you soon, okay?
All right, brother.
Be good.
God bless
Thanks,
you.
Thanks, Herm.
Thank you. Stay safe.
One of the best, right?
One of the all time best. Look, I said it on his last show. 9 years with Herm was not enough. So we have a lifetime together, which is great. And you're never too old to be coached. And whenever I find myself in a pickle or something, he's the first phone call I make, and that will always be the case.
The one thing about this business that you and I have been in a long time, and Mike, you're going to be in a long time, is you meet so many people. And you become acquaintances with some, you become friends with others, and then you become real, you know, lifelong friends with some. You know, and I know that's why we wanted to have Herm come on today. We know that's your guys' relationship, and it's a pretty cool thing. And obviously, he wanted to come on and say the same to you. So that was neat. And so we're going to finish this up next segment with just with my family. So Trey, I appreciate the last 3 years. Listen, we've known each other a long time, and you know, we live 5 minutes from each other. So again, this is just worry. We stopped doing the show together,
right?
But everything else remains the same.
Everything
on the golf course,
exactly. We'll go for years on NFL Live. We've done that, and not only I felt like you allowed me into this show, which was so much a part of everything you've done at ESPN for the last 4 months. It's been literally in your house since it all thing went down. So you and your entire family, the pugs, Chris, everybody graciously accepted me in this home every morning.
And I do have to say that every morning, you guys have left like tons of cash on the kitchen table up there. Last show, I got a complaint. I have probably fleeced you from about $30,000 over the last 4 months, and you guys didn't even know it was missing.
Chris,
and I feel like I needed to come clean.
The police are outside.
Chris, Trey's leaving. Hide the cash.
All right, you guys do what you got to do. Know that I love you both, and I'll see you both a lot. It has been an absolute blast.
Thanks, man. Love you too.
Bye. It has been a ton of fun. We love you, Trey.
All right,
absolutely.
See you guys.
Golic.
Makes me want to vomit and then punch you square in the face.
And Wingo.
Oh, he's saucy today.
Boo! This whole thing has been a dumpster fire.
That.
Whoa.
Bites.
This can't be happening.
What the hell?
All right, it's Golic and Wingo here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. And it's time, one last time,
oh boy,
for a little ditty we like to call That Bites, which is basically us sounding really dumb.
Oh,
and we're a dumb bunch of guys, and so we've amassed a pretty solid list of dumb things that we've said, or wild things that we've said. And so our staff did the kindness of going through and picking the five best Golic and Wingo That Bites sound bites from the 3 years that were. You guys ready for this?
Yep.
Sure.
All right, let's get it started. We got a countdown here. Let's start it off with number five.
Number five.
What drove me crazy yesterday, including some of our colleagues here, this game is boring.
It was.
Entertain me, please. Make me want
to
watch.
Is that so much
shut
to
up.
Ask?
Just shut up. If you don't want to watch, then don't watch. Go watch the Raptors and the Knicks. Go do something else. But don't sit there for four flipping hours with your eyes glued to the game and say, oh, this is so boring, but I can't stop watching. Oh, it's so boring. Just shut the hell up.
Wow, okay.
I mean, give me a break. If you don't want to watch it, then don't watch it. But don't watch the game and sit there and go, oh, I hate it. That's the worst. And you people that did that, you're the worst. The absolute worst. Yeah, Jerry, we'll tell them. I don't want to hear any of that garbage. If you don't want to watch the game, don't watch the game. But don't sit there watching the game and saying, oh, I'm so bored. I can't take it anymore. Give me a break. All right, I'm done.
Trey Wingo's opinion does not reflect the opinion of the Golic and Wingo.
Yes, it
staff.
Does.
No, it
yes,
doesn't.
Yes, it no. does.
That was straight
listen,
talk.
Jerry, does it?
Straight talk wireless.
It does.
I'm not even going that far.
That bites.
That was an awesome rant.
Woo! I'm still right, by the way.
Awesome rant.
All-time take.
I'm still awesome. Right, by the way.
And as you went, in honor of Trey, because this couldn't just be an actual top five, but rather a top five-ish, that was 5A. Here's normal five.
Another one.
This can't be happening.
Number five.
Got a new guy here and I hate him.
Yeah, what's going on there?
It's unbelievable.
What happened?
Got this new dude here, Carmine. He's, what, 22?
Yeah,
22 years
young.
Old. Looks like he's 12. I think he glued on this chin strap beard that he's got. So, Carmine, tell everybody why I don't like you.
So, I know Mike Golic Jr. played at Notre Dame, but I did not know Mike Sr. played in the NFL.
Wow. I mean, when were you born?
1995.
Don't go there. It's not working.
1995, a year after my youngest in Sydney.
Yeah.
And you had no idea that I played in the NFL. What did you know about me when you knew you were going to come work on the show? Oh, Mike Golic, Trey Wingo. Mike Golic, I know this about him.
Great radio host.
Well, way to save it.
But did you think I was an athlete at all and wonder if I played a sport?
Yeah, absolutely. I knew you were an athlete.
But you had no idea what I did.
No.
Get out. Just get out.
Can we seamlessly move on to something else?
Holy smokes. There's something about his face. I want to punch him right in the face.
Well, please don't, because then I'd be looking for a new host, a co-host, so that would be bad.
That bites.
Still haven't found that kid.
Never seen again.
Nope.
Joins many Carmines swimming with the fishes.
There you go.
All right. Now that we've gotten through the actual start of the top five, I think we've got number four up next.
Number four.
You can't have your cake and eat it. Oh, you can't. That's not the issue.
Yes.
You can eat your cake and still have it. You see what I mean? If you have your cake, you eat it. That's fine. It's not that. You can't eat your cake and still have it. So there you go.
Seriously?
Yeah.
That bites.
I hate it so much.
It's so
I hate it so much.
Someone tweeted me yesterday. He's been right on that for years.
Oh, my God.
That one is the one I truly disdain the most. This one, next one, number three is by far my favorite. Here it is.
Number three.
All right, the reason we've been moving so quickly through this, Cliff, bonus bite for us right here.
Finally did it. Here's CTSY, NBC Sports Philadelphia. It happened! CTSY.
Dad, you've been doing sports talk radio for 20 years. It's courtesy. That's the sound courtesy of... 20 years! CTSY! Back in a few!
You can always learn.
You almost killed me with that one.
That's the hardest you laughed in our 3 years here.
You almost killed me with that one.
That's one of those, as I said, you can always learn. What an idiot I am.
That was the most genuine laugh I think we shared on this one. Number two.
Number two.
I'm amazed at what goes on with Alex Smith getting ousted in San Fran by Colin Kaepernick and now ousted by Pat Mahomes, a guy who has done nothing. Now, could you imagine? And you know, listen, he's going to struggle. Pat Mahomes did not play his rookie year at barely at all. There is no chance on God's green earth he comes in next year and lights it up. He is going to struggle, and there's something amazing to me about the fact that you have a Chief team that can win now, that you're going to go now to a young quarterback. I'm a little surprised.
That bites.
I'm an idiot.
If that's number two, I can only imagine what's waiting for us. What's number one?
Number one.
Ronda Rousey, former UFC bantamweight champion, of course, now in WrestleMania.
Ronda, let's go back and start with when you knew from the MMA, when you were done there, when you knew in your mind, I'm not going to fight anymore.
I never said that.
Ah, so there is a possibility that you could go back in time?
There's a possibility that I could go back in time? That's your question to me?
Go back in time and fight. Go back in the octagon.
I do not have the ability to go back in time, no.
That bites.
That should be number one. I asked it so poorly, and she had zero sense of humor or personality.
She was here for none of it.
None of it.
She was in the midst of the heel turn then, and it showed.
Though quite honestly, that interview lasted as long as her wrestling career. So.
Oh! There we go! Oh! Revenge! Oh! From the top rope!
Oh! More stuff coming.
Golic and Wingo.
And Wingo.
Mm-hmm. Trey Wingo and Mike Golic Sr.
Love of the show. You ready? Everything has nuance. Nothing happens in black and white. See, Bubba's going to hate me again, but I think there's nuance here. You guys have to embrace the nuance in life. Oh, wait, hold on. There's two questions there. Life is not black and white. It's mostly gray.
Just answer the question.
No. Well, which one do you want me to answer? You're loving the statement.
You love it or shove it. It's a statement, and then you love it or shove it. This is the first time playing.
No, it's not, and it should probably be the last time playing.
It.
Yes!
And now we have arrived at the last time. Golic and Wingo brought to you by Blue Emu. Maximum pain relief works fast and you won't stink. Pharmacist recommended odor-free pain relief for muscle pain, backache, strain, sprains, or even arthritis. And no stinging or burning involved. It's simple pain relief. Blue Emu. Maximum pain relief works fast and you won't stink.
Knew it was going to be right eventually. Wow. Golic and Wingo with you. All phone guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. So you want to do it? You want to tee it up? You want to go?
One last love it or shove it with our host, Bubba. Bubba, how are you?
What's up, guys? You got me?
We got gotcha. You. One last all time. Right. We jammed you on time, so
perfect.
Let's get it going.
Yeah, I know. Jeez, what's taking you guys so long? Are you guys, are you hearing me?
Bubba came here live for the show, and we held him up like this.
Bubba's outside.
We're good, brother. I don't know what the deal was, but I think.
We'll send someone to open it in like 10 minutes, all right, Bubba?
Yeah, all right, cool. But let's do this, because I know Granger's ready to go here, so. Love It or Shove It, brought to you by Granger. The final Love It or Shove It had to come to the Golic household. Pat Mahomes should have been number one on the NFL top 100. Love It or Shove It.
There's no way I could love this more. Of course he should have been.
I think we're all going to love this one pretty easily here. Yeah.
This is a major love on this one here. As I love being able to hear Bubba's voice outside of the glass and in my ears right now.
Literally is right outside on my deck. And we're not
you
letting
can never
in.
Have enough Bubba.
Go ahead, Bubba. What's next?
Boston will end their year-long drought of no major sports championships. Love it or shove it.
Wow. Thoughts and prayers first off to Boston on this one.
It's been tough.
I'm going to shove it right now. I mean, where are we looking for this one at this point here? I don't think it's going to be the Patriots based on all their departures.
No.
Certainly not the Celtics in anything. I mean, the Bruins are probably going to be the only one, and that's only because I know the least about them.
And not the Red Sox. So, no, they're not winning any championships.
Trey?
I think the Celtics might sneak into the equation here, but I'm going to shove it.
Okay, we're shoving it. All right, Bubba, shoving it.
All right, it's the final Love It or Shove It. Golic and Wingo, ESPN Radio, ESPN2. The Pelicans should have played Zion down the stretch last night. Love It or Shove It.
Wow, that is a great question. I mean, they're fighting for that.
Yeah, it is.
That 8-9 slot, he played 15 minutes, and Alvin Gentry said he was not allowed to put him back in the game from the medical staff, saying that's all he was allowed to play. I love it. I wish they'd have played him more. I mean, you're trying to get into the playoffs.
And I think that's it for me. It's not saying you'd play him a ton of extended minutes, all that.
Some
but playing him enough in a close game like that. We mentioned both these games came down to last second shots. Every inch could have mattered, and I think he could have gone a long way in that. I love this one.
Today is nothing but love, so we're going to love that.
Wow, there you go.
Wow.
Hey, there you go.
Interesting. By the way, the Pelicans did not allow Zion Williamson to get in the zone late. Get in the Zone's brought to you by AutoZone. Get in the zone, AutoZone. Bubba.
Major League Baseball got it right, suspending Joe Kelly 8 games. Love it or shove it.
Yeah, shove it. Yeah, it's not about the.
I get the suspension, but I shove it. They gotta knock that thing down to at least half.
I'm gonna love it and say they got it right, setting a tone on the action. They got everything else wrong, and that's their problem. Is contextually they had messed up so much leading up to this point that nothing they do now is going to be right in this one. But I think the act itself of the suspension is right. I love it.
And Houston gets away with everything. Bubba.
Love it or shove it. The final one, Bubba, is here literally at the house. LeBron is still the best player in the NBA. Love it or shove it.
Wow.
Didn't look like it last night.
He didn't.
It's a preseason game.
Are we still saying he's the best?
I'm going to say yes. When this season is over and they're hoisting the championship, people will say, yeah, he's still the best
player. I think I'll go with that as well.
I think I'm going to love that, too, even though we're going to talk about Giannis winning his second straight MVP and having an historically great season. It still feels like LeBron is the guy.
Close it out, Bubba.
All right, Love It or Shove It, brought to you by Grainger. As you get back to business, Grainger is there to help with supplies and solutions for every industry, safety recovery guides, 24/7 support, and more. Visit Grainger.com/recovery. Thank you, Golic. 10 years with you doing Love It or Shove It in the mornings. Loved every minute of it. Thank you, Golic.
Thank you, Bubba. Appreciate
that. Bubba.
He's out on the deck. I invite you in for cake, but there won't be any left, so get out of here.
Don't worry. I brought donuts.
Right. Oh! Yeah! There we go.
Now we can stay.
This guy bites it.
Golic.
I tell you what, a great sports night last night. Yeah. No doubt about it.
And Wingo.
What a day. What a show. What a time.
Shout out to friend of the show, Cardi B, too. Really proud of her.
Cardi B took down Drake and Post Malone opening hip-hop.
Oh, yeah.
It's Golic and Wingo.
It's the best soundbite in the history of the show, I think. Yeah. The Cardi B hip-hop bite in the annals of Golic and Wingo's rich 3-year history.
Yeah.
What a run.
What a run.
It is amazing of the 22 years it took just the last year of it to come up with that one.
Yeah.
To be one of the worst ones.
I mean, in your defense, I think my insertion in the show probably brought Cardi B to the forefront in that way.
I would agree.
It was the perfect blend. Golic and Wingo here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. We're brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Cover all your bases with Straight Talk Wireless. Get the same networks as big carriers, only pay up to 50% less. Get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G, for just $45 a month, only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. All right.
We're about closing it. Why don't you, Mike, explain the shirts again for people that are watching. You can see them, but people on radio, if you want to have a chance, because, again, it's going to charity.
Yeah, tweeted the link. Thanks to the people at Homage, homage.com, the shirts that we have on right now. Mike Golic, a true pro with the donut O in there.
Yeah.
Notre Dame blue and gold. They're up on their website right now. 15% of the proceeds are going to go to the South Bend Center of the Homeless. We've worked with them for a long time. That's been a place my parents have always loved donating to. So be sure to check that one out there. Big thank you to them for help putting that together. Elliot and the folks over there, awesome crew.
Yeah, very, very nice. So again, this all started back in October 12th of 1998, 7,600, and I believe it's now 57 days ago. We figured out it's been over 4,500 shows through all of this, and there's been a lot of, obviously, people involved through those years as well. Like for Bruno, for me and Tony Bruno, Luis Cornetta was the producer there. And then for Mike and Mike, it was Pete Genesini, Justin Craig, Scotty Shapiro, Liam Chapman, Ray Necci, Drew Brooks, and Dan Stanzik. And then for Golic and Wingo, Stanzik came over and started doing that as well. And then Evan Wilner as well. So those were all the producers of the shows, let alone all the people behind the scenes of this as well.
Yeah, I was going to say, we've got our whole staff here too as well. Allie, Jerry, Devin,
Ryan, Cliff, James, who's on the board with us today. I know Matt Lack's done stuff for us. All the researchers that we've had over the year. Brett, Riley, Gordo, Vic, who's done such great work for us lately as well. Over on the TV side, Rochi, who's an absolute legend in his own right on the TV side. Ronnie Smith, Timothy Brown, Austin Hatley, Josh Askins, Mike Morgese, Brittany Carnes, Josh Townsend, Adam Grigley, and Karen Enamorado. Everyone who's done such great work for us here on Golic and Wingo since this show started, and I really pray I'm not forgetting every names. We've been fortunate to have a lot involving here. Oh yeah, Shelby Lacey.
Brady Bunch video.
Yes, I can say she helped my mom with the famed Brady Bunch video project there, including Justin, Pete G, everyone around there, Louise, who you mentioned, and all that. We've got so many people around the department. Ray Necci, who helped out at the beginning over with us too at Golic and Wingo.
Yeah, he was one of the producers as well, as I mentioned. So there's been obviously a lot of people involved. It's never just the people you see on air, and that's true. And I think in anywhere, any business, it's the people behind the glass that and God knows all the researchers that helped me sound way smarter than I really am. So it's been a labor of love, certainly over all these years, and I really have been humbled over the amount of responses on social media. Again, this is something that wasn't around when I first started. There was the old fax machine with everybody out there going, what the hell? You know, and the old fax would fall behind the fax machine because of that rolled up fax paper. There was never any of that. And what came with social media was kind of instant gratification or instant, we hate you, you know, whatever you wanted. It was instant. So it's been really incredible hearing what people are saying and writing about growing up with the show. It's been a cool thing. And I think that's kind of what I wanted to portray over the years, was just, I wanted to be that guy sitting at the bar where everybody just kind of hung out, you know, just kind of talk sports together. And I just happen to hang out at the bar with my family.
A lot of times
my kids were at the bar underage, which Sydney knows well about going into college days.
Allegedly.
But that was important to me to have my family be part of it. It's because it's the most important thing to me. So to be part of that show, of this show, and to have so many people be part of that and want to be part of that and share everything that they have, it's been very cool.
Yeah, and I think that's been the interesting part watching for all of us. Is I know my mom's been a wreck throughout all of this, seeing the nice notes that everyone has sent and all that, and it's appreciated, but we joked and said it felt like a funeral and all of this, and I realized, like, for us it's a little different and it's a little happier because even after we turn off the mics, you still get to be our dad. And I think that's the part that through all of it, oof, I am my mom's son. That's the part that through all of it. And when we grew up, you know, it was such a big thing. And Mike and Mike became this big phenomenon. And there was so much that came along with that. And you always made sure that it was about us. And you always made sure that you were around for the stuff that we did. And we felt that, and we saw it, and it meant so, so much to grow up feeling like that you could do anything because you two made that possible, because we got to watch the way that you guys woke up every day and loved each other and loved us and supported all of our dreams through that. It's the reason Jake is a great husband right now. It's a reason Sydney's going to be a great wife, and they're going to be great parents.
You're going to be a great husband, too.
And come hell or high water with my mom, that is going to be the case, too. But you always put that at the forefront. You stopped calling college football games when we got to high school because you wanted to be around and support us. And then to get to do this with you for the last 3 years is, it'll be the highlight of my professional life, my personal life. I love you so much. To get to do the thing I always wanted to do with the person I always wanted to be is such an insanely surreal thing. I will never forget it.
Well,
so thanks,
I appreciate that. Well, thank you. Thank all of you. Nobody going to jump in here and help, huh?
The interesting thing about this show has been we moved here from Arizona because it was our baby.
Yeah.
We never aspired to do anything more than the radio show. It was the pinnacle for us. It's meant everything to us. It's been a part of our family, and that's why this means so much to us.
This is why we did it, and this is why I did it for right here and what Mike just said. All the guests and all the people we mentioned, everybody was so important, but there's nobody as important than who is sitting right here on the set with me right now. Thank you all.
This has been the Best of Golic and Wingo podcast. You can listen or subscribe on the ESPN app, Apple Podcasts, or just ask your smart speaker to play Golic and Wingo. Plus, you can check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN News.